scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube-streamed worship service from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on the 10th of May 2026. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
We're going to hear our Bible readings now. The first reading that we'll hear today will be the reading that I'll base my address on, sharing our faith.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 17, beginning in the 22nd verse. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God, and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, reading from the 13th verse. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for what is doing right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let's pray. Loving Lord Jesus, you love us, and you love us perfectly through your cross and through your resurrection. Send your Holy Spirit into our lives, our hearts, our ears, to receive your good gifts for us and your good gifts through us. Amen. Many amazing women. And it's interesting in the lead up towards a day like Mother's Day, how many stories come to one during the week. And I had a number of those stories come to me. Stories in the everyday of mums and grandmums, stories of kids and the end of life for mums. One of the things I reflect on in Mother's Day is my experience that mums have been powerful storytellers of Jesus' story for them and for their kids. My mum was one of those, I reckon. At the midweek service this past week, we considered that a little bit further. Those people who had shared the story of Jesus in their lives for us and with us. And many people, as we prayed for their mums. This is my mum and dad getting married in 1946. Jolly long time ago. So I must be starting to get a bit long in the tooth too. My mum was one of those people who was always ready to tell me about Jesus. If there was anything she was ready for, it was to share the reason that she loved Jesus, because he first loved her. She always seemed ready to do it. I wonder if I am. I wonder if you are. Are you ready to share that story in your life too? As my mum shared with me on the swing sometimes. On this Mother's Day, we're going to explore our call to share our hope, the hope that we have in this Jesus. And we're going to pick it up in light of what's going on in the story of Acts, as we heard that first reading today. As we get to the middle part of the book of Acts, chapters 16 and 17 are some of my favourite places in the Bible, I've got to say. Where in chapter 16, it tells the story of the Spirit of God sending Paul to Philippi, to Macedonia, to Europe. And then on through a number of other places, he makes his way, as we heard in the story today, to Athens. And that's where that ugly bloke is in that photo up there. Philippi and Athens are some of my favourite places on earth to visit. In Athens, the humble site of the Areopagus, which is where I am up there at the minute, belies the magnitude, I reckon, of what went on as the Spirit worked in Paul in that place. I've been blessed to go to that site with another mum, an evangelist called Sue. And if you ever go to Athens and you get to climb the hill to go up to the Acropolis, you pass by this spot. And it's very unassuming, easy to miss, rather underwhelming, the site of the Areopagus and where it perhaps stood a long time ago. But there, and you'll see over Sue's left shoulder, is a plaque on a stone wall. And the plaque is of the words that we heard Diana read in Acts chapter 17 today. One of the great joys of my life was having the opportunity to read that plaque in my poor rusty old Greek and to pray that I might be ready to share the reason that I have hope with the people that I love, with the people that God brings to me in my life. That Jesus has saved me by his amazing grace on the cross, by his amazing resurrection, and that he wants all people to know that for them and to know hope in their lives. So today I'd like to ask you to consider this in your life too. What's the reason for the hope that you have? Who might you be called to share that with, to pray for, that you and they might be made ready for that time of sharing? It seems that the Spirit goes ahead to get things ready for the tellers, for the storytellers. In Acts chapter 16, there's this amazing story of the gospel coming to Europe and the very first church on European soil. I don't know what you think of when you think of the church in Europe. You know, some of those amazing cathedrals that you sometimes see or that you've been to, whether it's the Vatican or whatever it might be, all great and grand. But also consider that the church, as it started, is like the church where we go every day. It starts where we are. It starts in a home. It starts in a house with a family. The word of God where people are and with hope in their hearts is where the church is and where the church has always been. Where you are with the Word of God then too and the hope in your heart, there is the same Spirit of God ready to tell through you. In Acts 16, Paul and his friends come to a city called Philippi in modern-day Greece. They go along to where people are and they start to share their hope. Acts 16 tells us that a certain woman named Lydia, a worshipper of God, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And she and her household were baptized. Lydia and her house, her family, her extended family, those who were there. Another evangelist mum, I wonder. They are the first Christians baptized in Europe. Here at the start of this great church of cathedrals is a home and a place of faith. Is it much different from where you are in your daily life? And Acts 16 goes on to Acts 17 to tell of a continuing story of the gospel going in a church growing, sometimes despite opposition. And I think there are a few common elements to the story. Four of them I'm going to suggest to you today. First of all, the story goes that Paul goes to where people are and where people are at in their lives. And he goes there with the gospel, with the intention that he takes the gospel with him. Secondly, this is the amazing thing that comes up in these accounts in Acts, is that people ask Paul to tell them more about this story, this gospel thing. And he does. And we hear in Acts that some people come to faith through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the church is planted. That's what happens. There is also some opposition that they face, I should say. But despite that opposition, the church is established, people are saved, and the gospel story spreads. Eventually it makes its way to Melbourne, by the way, and that's why we're sitting here today. Where we pick up the story today, though, most particularly is in Acts 17, in the cosmopolitan hip centre of Athens. This is where the philosophers and the latest thinkers hang out. Paul comes and he works with where the people are at. He says, I can see that you're very religious. And he goes on then to tell the story of Christ and him who was raised to life. He engages with them. He contextually tells them about Jesus. Some scoffed, of course, but others say to him, come and tell us more. We want to hear more. And some of them joined him and became believers. It's amazing, isn't it? The gospel is shared, the Spirit works, people come to faith. It's not rocket science, but it's amazing. And the church is planted. So what does it say to me? What does it say to you? What does it say to us today, I wonder? Might I suggest a couple of things? The Spirit has come, the same Spirit has come to where you are today too. When you came to faith, it mightn't have been Paul the Apostle who's come to you or some amazing occurrence, I don't know. But when you were baptized, as we hear in 1 Peter today, perhaps when you were rocked in the faith by parents as a little one, or as someone brought you the love of Jesus, perhaps later in your life, the same Spirit that we hear about in the book of Acts is the one who came to you. The same Spirit with the best love and grace and life that God can muster for you is with you still. Paul says to the Athenians, and he uses their own poetry to say it, in him we live and move and have our being. And he says the same thing to us. In Christ, we have our being and our life. In him, you are. So, dear friends in Christ, be who you are. Grow in knowing Jesus for you. grow in the living word for you and be ready then to share the reason for the hope that you have too. As we hear in our second reading today in 1 Peter, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So are you ready? Are you prepared to share the reason for your hope? Just a few moments ago, we sang beautifully together, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me." What's the Lord done in you? Are you ready? If you'd like to practice, come and see me. I'd love to hear your story. Prepare with prayer, I think, is always a good place to be in these days. In Colossians 4, Paul asks for prayer from the Christians there so that God will open to us a door for the word that we might declare the mystery of Christ. We talk to God about people before we talk to people about God, I think, is a good thing for us to have. So who might you be called to talk to God about in your life to open the door? I know my mum and many mums have prayed fervently for their kids to have faith. And I know of kids who pray for their mums to know Jesus too. My encouragement simply is to be ready, so prepare. Next Sunday, as Pastor Sue said at the start of worship today, we begin a gospel fluency workshop which will run for 5 Sundays. It's designed to help us into that space to share our faith with people around us. Would you please pray for those who are at this workshop? And be alert. Be ready, just like Paul in Philippi and in Athens, like my mum was ready in the vineyards of the Barossa. Be ready in Melbourne today at a Mother's Day lunch perhaps, or wherever it is. Be ready to share your heart, your love, your joy that comes because Jesus is your Saviour too. I know this doesn't always come easily to us. And like Paul, we too can face rejection. But dear friends, just know the reality that the same Spirit who worked the same miracles of faith in Acts and also in you to come to faith also works in you and through you today. So be encouraged. The closer I get to heaven and the end of my days, the more I see the importance to not let the important things remain unsaid or unshared. Time flies and becomes short so very quickly, so use it wisely. Prepare, be ready to share the hope that you have in Jesus. Say it from your heart. Don't let it be said unsaid. Don't let it be left unsaid, I should say. Always be ready to share the reason for the hope you have. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.